Hello, Heat Nation. This is David Ermil, the host of Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Please make sure to follow the show if you haven't already, wherever you're listening to podcasts to get the latest episodes. Today's episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra at only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. This is part two of my conversation with Matt Moore of the Action Network and Locked On Nuggets and NBA. And we continue looking at Miami season and postseason and how the team can improve in the future. If you haven't checked out part one, make sure to do so. I think a lot of people kind of on the fence. Obviously, the Jimmy contract situation kind of puts everything under a very strange lens. But moreover, I think even just during the next couple of seasons under which Jimmy is currently under contract, an interesting challenge for Pat Riley and the rest of that front office to make changes around. You've got a lot of players entering into restricted free agency. You have a possibility to make some wide sweeping changes across the roster. We were just talking about the need for a bigger body because it's not Nemanja Bjelica, a surprise to everybody out there, but I don't think he's a long-term project for Miami. And I don't know that there's other options out there. We talked about Kyle Lowry before. Do you like the fit with Lowry in Miami? I mean, given if you ignore, and look, it's kind of hard to do so. If you ignore the age factor, I like Lowry's fit there. I think obviously he's still a very competent player. He also is not going to have those kind of mega performances that we were talking about in the playoffs where he's going to be a dominant player. Sure, he can shoot you into a game from more often than not, but I don't know if that's something you want to rely on. Also, is he the guy that solves Miami's problems or at least alleviates a big portion of them in your view?
I think it's all about price, right? Like if he's willing to come there for a discount because he thinks he can win a title and you're able to keep the core together and then add one more piece, whether that's re-signing Oladipo on like a 1-year deal or whatever. And like, again, I don't have the cap mechanics in front of me. Right. So I don't know what all the decisions you'd have to make this happen are. Like the cap stuff is stuff that I can figure out if you sit me down and I'm like, okay, I'm going to figure out what their cap situation is and what they can do and cannot, but I haven't done it for the Heat yet. But I think that there's options for them if depending on how much people buy into the idea of this team. Like that's a lot of it is if you can add veterans to fill in some of these gaps, to replace some of it. Like a lot of it, I think, is you saw how important Goran was last year. I think you're going to have to replace a lot of that going into next season or augment it. If you re-sign him, that to me is as much of a risk as Lowry, because Lowry was still so effective this season when he played. He's not the same guy that he was 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 5 years ago. He's still really good. He's still really tough and players respect him a lot, and he'll figure out ways just to like make his presence felt. And if nothing else, he'll organize the offense and he'll punish them for various decisions they make on the other guys. Like I think he's high Q enough that you've got a very high IQ trio there. If it's Lowry and Bam and Jimmy, like that's a very high IQ kind of situation, but then you would still need development from Hero. You'd still need, you know, development slash to keep none. If you kept him, you would need all these other guys, I think, to fill in. You're also going to have to find somebody to take that Jay Crowder role, because that clearly wasn't Trevor Ariza. You need that outside shooter. That's a competent defensive forward. Like you're going to, those guys you can find. That's the good news. It's like those guys will be available either on free agency market or through trade. You'll be able to find guys that can fill that role that are quality veterans that over time have worked themselves into where it's like, okay, they're not awesome shooters, but they're 35, 36% plus, right? They're not 40% plus, but they're solid and they can get hot in the right environment. That's really what you're looking for, is just a guy that's good defensively, that brings good energy, that's not over the hill, which sadly Trevor Ariza was. Like he just was past the point of impact. You need a guy that can fill in those kinds of capacities. There's a lot that I think this team needs going forward, just because as good as they were in the bubble, the shades of them throughout the coming years won't be as good. And so you need to be able to figure out, how do we find some home runs, diamonds in the roughs, et cetera, to be able to augment around them. I like Lowry as a fit. I don't know if I would not look at Lowry, Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo as a championship core.
Yeah. Where does that leave Duncan Robinson too? Right. I mean, are you a believer in Duncan's impact as a shooter and his ability to continue to evolve? Cause I think we've seen some positive steps from him as far as being able to move more off ball. He's improved as a defender. I don't think he'll ever be a competent playmaker. He's okay, but I don't think that's something that's going to be a big factor in his game moving forward. And I know that's a huge question mark. And not only that, but a big expense that Miami is looking to make. And I don't know what the market will dictate for a guy like Duncan, but I mean, we could see a potential $18 to $20 million a year deal for him somewhere out there if other teams are believers and what he can do. And I don't know that Miami matches that kind of an offer. I imagine that they would, but again, I'm not an expert in salary cap kind of things, but that's a lot of money for guys that are probably limited in their overall game. And I just don't know how Duncan fits into the future of this franchise.
I think so much of it's going to be what the market kind of bear. And we don't have talking to executives. There's a lot of like shrug about them this season, because they're just like, look, the financials are a mess after the pandemic,
right?
You know, shortened off season. We're all just kind of scrambling to kind of get everything situated. I will say that Robinson does fit the mold of a guy that tends to get overpaid. And then later everybody's like, oh boy, that contract. that's just the mold. I'm just being like totally honest here. I can go back through the last 20 years of the NBA and look at guys that were pure shooters that were not horrible defensive liabilities, but could be exposed in certain situations, that weren't on ball creators and that weren't super athletes. And the model of them over long term projects pretty poorly after they get these massive contracts. Robinson might be the exception. I think the fit there is great. Right. I was honestly, if you go back and look at that series, look at the first couple of possessions for Miami and Brook Lopez dropping on the DHO versus Duncan Robinson.
Right.
And I was like, what are you doing? Like that. Then I was like, oh God, this is going to happen again. The Bucks are actually going to do this again. And they adjusted a little bit and switched up some of the coverages. But I also just think Miami went away from that for various weird reasons. He's still very dangerous. I still think you can talk about him. Like, he's taken the mantle of the best pure spot up shooter in the league. And everyone kind of believes that that's who he is. Outside of, you know, you've got the top elite shooters off the dribble, and he's nowhere near in that range. But for guys that you can count on for threes, that's a big deal in the modern NBA, is being able to say, I can count on this guy hitting X threes a game. It's just, that's a massive differential in games that helps you so far in terms of getting past, you know, a random bad night versus the Kings. You know, they played terribly, but Duncan hit six threes and that was enough for them to get the win. Like, those kind of edges I think are valuable. But look, if they put out there, if it's like, you know, 20 million, you can't, like, it just, there's no way you can justify it. If some team wants to overpay for a pure shooter, you have to let them. And the problem is then how do you replace it? And that is a genuine concern, but I would say that Miami's got to be pretty careful about not attaching themselves to contracts that they will have difficulty moving, because they're still going to be having to look for upgrades, right? They're still going to have to be shopping those markets for that next star. Like, the chase does not stop because Bam or because Giannis decided to resign and because Beal was off the table this season. Like, right. And because the Victor Oladipo thing may or may not have worked out, right? Because it's an unknown. There's just like a lot to try and figure out here. The chase will continue to upgrade talent. What you don't want is, you don't want to be able to be like, we can't make it work because we literally can't move this contract. That's right. There's very few contracts that are like that, but you don't want to complicate anything that makes it harder for you. And in the meantime, somebody else makes the trade that you were looking to make.
Let me tell you a little bit about Rock Auto. With an ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's impossible to stock all the parts you might need in a traditional chain storefront. So why go there? Have to endure endless questions about what you want while the person behind the counter orders the parts that you're looking for on their computer? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Rockauto.com is a family-owned business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. You can choose from hundreds of manufacturers on their easy-to-use site, and you get everything you need with just a few easy clicks delivered directly and safely to your door. Why spend more? Rockauto.com's low prices are the same for everybody. So go to rockauto.com right now. So you have the parts available for your car or truck, then go to the section that says, how'd you hear about us? And write the phrase locked on so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. That's rockauto.com. Miami Heat are out of the playoffs, but the road to the finals still continues, and our coverage is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it, and at 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, we can all enjoy the games a little bit more this season. I'm curious there. You make it seem like there's a hope that Victor Oladipo will someday be a contributor, if not in Miami, but elsewhere. I think a lot of Heat fans are probably pretty pessimistic about that. And given the fact that he's going, you know, he just had surgery again, and we don't know what his timetable for return is. We've heard reports it could be as early as November. That seems pretty optimistic. And even given that, at best case scenario, you know, it could be him slowly being worked into whatever team he plays for. And so, I mean, we were talking about this in our most recent episode, and I think, you know, there are other teams out there that could look at Oladipo and say, well, if he's going to be playing at some point this year, it's worth taking a risk for a multi-year deal. I don't know why you would want to make that kind of a gamble, but that's not me. As far as Miami is concerned, I don't know that they see him as a part of their future. I think that they'd be prepared to both let Kendrick Nunn and Victor Oladipo walk if somebody even offers them any kind of a significant deal.
Well, and I trust you a lot more on that side of the equation. So, you know, I've heard the same stuff about Oladipo in terms of, yeah, I don't know if he's going to be back. I've heard it more in terms of like, yeah, I don't know. You know, it's like they gave up some assets for him. And then obviously the injuries is really terrible. But the question is going to be like, if he's cleared for, you know, his doctor was optimistic that he was going to be cleared for contact. And if he's able to get back in some capacity, how does he look in that situation? How does it kind of project? And another thing is, can you do better? That's going to have to be part of this equation. Is this free agency market not awesome? Unless you think you're getting Kawhi, which would be great. I will say, I think the Kawhi Leonard fit that's kind of been mentioned is a terrible one. That's a very terrible fit. Okay. Yeah. We can go there. just real quickly. You don't want a guy that has literally decimated two franchises because he wanted everything on his terms.
Yeah.
To go to a place whose entire identity is built on the strength of the culture and the organization. Miami's an organ, and now Miami's adapted to various superstars, right? Like they've taken on more of Jimmy's identity in his time there. And they obviously made exceptions for various things with LeBron begrudgingly during that era.
Not as many as he would have liked, right?
Yeah. Like that's part of it, right? It's like, and so you got Kawhi, whose entire thing is like, yeah, I'm going to take my helicopter up from San Diego every day and I'm going to practice when I want to, and I'm going to play when I want to. And all these kind of things. And look, I think Kawhi played a lot of back-to-backs this year, and a lot of the stuff has to do with a very legitimate injury and a degenerative condition in his leg. I think some of it also just has to do with he calls the shots.
Right.
And for me, like I look at that and you got a guy that calls all his shots and you got Jimmy. I get a little nervous about that combo. Like, chemistry-wise.
There were people questioning whether or not James Harden would fit here because everybody was talking about him going and hitting up every strip club in the middle of a pandemic and everything else. And people were wondering whether or not it was going to be a bad fit in Miami. And Heat fans clearly saying, no, we don't want him here because he doesn't fit the quote-unquote culture. I'm like, well, if you have an issue with Harden, then I don't know what you believe Kawhi Leonard is going to be. And maybe it's just this kind of narrative around those two players and how people perceive them as this hardworking, diligent robot of a person, as opposed to this, you know, kind of a carefree guy with stacks of money there. But I don't know. I don't think Kawhi is a good fit in Miami off the floor because of all the things that you just pointed out.
Now, look, if Kawhi Leonard says, I want to join the Miami Heat.
Oh, they'll make room for it.
Yeah, you do it. Like, I'm not saying that you tell Kawhi, like, no thanks, Kawhi Leonard. Your services are not needed here. No, you do it because it's Kawhi freaking Leonard and you hope you make it work. I would have a lot of concern about that, but it also gets into the idea of if Kawhi doesn't leave LA, which is, you know, we're at a very weird moment to be assessing that given where we're recording this at in the series, but there's a lot of things to figure out there. If Kawhi doesn't leave, then the free agency market is just not flush. It's not one of those years where it's like, okay, you can make a swing for the fences type deal. There's just not a lot of those guys. And there are guys I think that you could potentially add. I can see being interested in the Miami way of life and in the culture. Like that combo is really attractive. That's why you got Butler, is you've got this serious business first family, like very, very basketball-centric organization in a place that's awesome to live. And that's always going to be attractive. Like you're a glamour market. You're always going to have a leg up on other franchises that only bring the organizational strength to the table. Like you are exceptional on two ends, and that's very helpful. but there's got to be guys available to get it done, and you have to have the trade packages to get it done, and both of those things right now are limited. So this is going to be look, I have a lot of faith in that front office. They've done such a great job through the years, and I would not be surprised if I come into camp next year and I'm like, you know what, the Heat are going to be good again. But I do think that this is a pretty dangerous time based off of the decisions that were kind of that. It is kind of crazy to think how good everything seems set up during the finals compared to where we're at right now. And that's not just because they lost a series to the Bucks.
Is there a big name that you can throw at my listeners there? Somebody that you think Miami could go after and instantly transform the franchise? I don't see it, to be honest with you. I mean, obviously people are looking at Dame Lillard and saying, yes, that's the perfect fit, but good luck with all that. I don't think that's going to happen. Anybody else
bidding
out
war,
there?
That's the problem. It's like the problem with the Dame thing is the bidding war. Like, you, I'll just tell you, you'd have to give up Bam. That's the level, because you just don't have the kind of assets that they're going to require. Like, they're going, if they're giving up Dame, he gets to say where he wants to go for sure, and that would help, but the organization would have to get a certain amount back in order for it to be in any way justifiable. I mean, yes, if Dame pulls a James Harden, then you can get him for a discount. But he will not do Portland out like that. I feel very confident that he will not. He is not a we're all in it for ourselves kind of guy. The Chris Haynes article back in April was definitely a shot across the bow of like, there's going to need to be changes, or there's going to be changes, but you'd have to offer so much to get Dame that I'm not sure that you would have enough left over to really be able to build the kind of team that you would want to build if you're trading for Damian Lillard. I can't say I've heard X guy linked, right? Okay. I can't tell you that. What I can say is, like, I would expect Beal to be back on the market.
Okay.
Because Beal's entire thing was not, I love Washington and this Westbrook team, and I think we're going to do it. It was absolutely very much a did not want to move during a pandemic. And fair so enough. But the bigger thing is you go team by team, and there's just, look, there's always a guy. Like, there's always a superstar who's fed up with his current situation. There's always one. We've just seen this every single summer. There's always these things that come out of nowhere. And that's like a very open-ended thing, but you can look around the league and you can find guys and say, like, they'd be a good fit in this situation. And Miami is always going to be a nice pull for guys that want to go from unserious franchises to serious franchises in an awesome place to live. So their upside will always be considerable.
Yeah, that's right. And I've made that point a number of times. It's that we never know from year to year what's going to happen. Everybody kind of puts all their eggs in that basket and wondering whether or not a superstar is ever going to be available. And you look glumly at this past summer because they weren't able to lure Giannis away. And of course, the landscape changes, but it changes so frequently and so easily when all of a sudden one big name player says, you know what, I'm just done with this situation. I've put in my time here. I tried to make it work. The franchise let me down to some degree. I probably have a hand in that as well. And then it's time for both of us to move on. And I could see Beal certainly fitting that mold pretty easily, but you know what, let's pause that conversation for now. Obviously, we have no idea what the summer will entail for Miami. I'm sure it'll probably be some wide sweeping changes. And I suggest you head over to BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season's in full swing. You can track all the action at BetOnline, but there's tons of sports action going on with the start of the new WNBA season. Of course, the NBA playoffs, the NHL, and so much more. Head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and more. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website, use your mobile device, sign up today, and receive 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, they're your online sportsbook experts. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. The conversation around this team over the last few days, because in particular, one of the things I brought up on Saturday was after Miami was eliminated, it just seemed like everybody was champing at the bit for the chance to drag this franchise, its fan base, Jimmy Butler, through the figurative mud. What's going on, Matt? Like, I mean, you were part of that to some degree too. I think you have respect for what the franchise can do, but you were pretty loud. And I know it's Twitter, so you only take it with a grain of salt there, but what's going on?
So look, I think this is kind of the key is when a team exceeds expectations, there is a natural, like the confirmation bias, if you're a fan, is to go like, this is totally sustainable and who they are. Like they are an Eastern Conference championship team. And if a team defies those expectations and goes further, everyone outside of those fans is going to be like, okay, but like, we really didn't see this coming. And so there's a kind of resistance because it creates a cognitive dissonance between what you expect and what occurred. And that dissonance can cause a lot of tension. And I think last year's bubble run did a lot of that. Now, part of this is that Heat fans just genuinely have joined the Lakers in terms of putting everybody into jerseys, right? Like Dame, you know, Dame's going to join the Heat.
I've seen the Photoshops already. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and like everybody's like that. Like everybody winds up in there. And like the pretty clear chasing of Giannis is part of that too. That breeds resentment across all like the lesser ones. And then you've got the Heat culture, you know, talking it up as if that goes in line with the kind of comments about, would you rather have Brad Stevens or Giannis Antetokounmpo? And it's like, look, you can have all the culture you want, but you're going to have superstar players making superstar plays. Like that's organizational strength matters more than people realize. It's one of the reasons the Spurs were relevant for 20 years and everybody will go, yeah, cause they had Tim Duncan. No, it's because they were able to keep Tim Duncan and keep Tony Parker and keep Manu Ginobili because they had built such a great infrastructure. And then they had everything designed to carry that over. And then Kawhi happened.
But doesn't Miami have that? I mean, the Heat have that, right?
I agree. Yeah, okay. They do. But I also think that the gap between like to me, at least there's just the huge gap between Dwayne Wade, Shaquille O'Neal. Dwayne Wade really just on his own, like his performances through, I still say the 2009 season is the single best non-MVP season I think I've ever seen. I think that's how good he was. LeBron, Wade, and Bosh. Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo. I get it, right? It's like, well, they made it. They did. But the big thing, honestly, for me is that everyone saw that Heat Bucks series coming last year. Like, everybody saw it coming. I wrote an article in January that literally said, hey, the Heat defense is going to fall off, so you're going to want to start fading them in the regular season. But in the playoffs, if they get Milwaukee, there's a very good chance they win. And then, like, that wasn't something that I was, like, and on an island about. Everybody knew going into Heat Bucks last year, like, the Heat are going to win this fucking series. Like, everyone knew that was how it was going to go because of the schematic stuff and the stuff with Bud. But then they get into that Celtics series, and that Celtics series was bizarre. Like, you would have this series where, like, the Celtics would outplay them in three of the four quarters, but would lose the third quarter by like 20 points in this most insane segment where the Celtics' heads would fall off and the Heat would shoot the lights out. And that, I think, created, at least I'll tell you, for me, I think that the Celtics should have won that series. I do. Like, I just still think the Celtics should have won that series based off of how I watched every game play out, where I was like, okay, they played well. They lost their freaking minds and the Heat shot the lights out. And all of a sudden, like, the Heat wind up with the series victory. It was crazy. And then you see, like, obviously, like, they go six games in the finals, but I don't think, like, everyone kind of knew, like, hey, they're not matching. I mean, the Nuggets weren't any better. Like, no one was beating the Lakers. There just wasn't a team that could match up with them. So I think that's like the biggest part of it, though, I think, is that for Heat fans, it was like, this is totally valid and 100%, and they really are this good. Like, you have to kind of keep these things in mind and be like, okay, yeah, like, Goran's probably playing a little bit above grade right now. Like, yes, like, Goran's playing a little bit above what you can reasonably expect from Goran Dragic every single night. And then, like, okay, it's probably unreasonable to expect Jay Crowder to lead all players in the second round in made threes. That's probably an outlier. You can take those kind of approaches and be like, hey, we got the breaks. We got the breaks. We were fortunate. We looked to make a run. We almost got there and we didn't. versus like, we are a super team and everyone should fear us. And that differential, I think, is what caused a lot of the pushback.
Oh, wow. I don't know that anybody was saying that. Like, maybe again, maybe.
And it felt like it.
Did it really? I feel like, and this happens to everybody, even in this media landscape, like you get too close to covering a team and you don't see the outsider's perspective. I don't, even from Heat fans, and I know Heat fans can be cocky and ridiculous, but I think that's every fan base given the opportunity.
Yeah, it is.
I didn't see that kind of level of arrogance. I don't think anybody saw that finals run or that playoff run and said, oh, we're going to be here in the finals every year for the next 5 years or anything like that. I didn't see that. Now, I will say that if Goran and Bam had been healthy, Miami wins that series.
There's also, I think, I'm just going to skip past that, David. I'm just going to.
No way. No, don't do it, Matt, because they have Bam. Come on. Bam on AD. I think that matchup evens out pretty much better than if when Bam wasn't available, obviously. You get those two transcendent performances from Jimmy Butler. You get just enough from Goran, who was the team's leading scorer. I think you have enough to knock off the Lakers.
So, I think if we're looking at the long-term stuff, though, I think a lot of it, too, is there's simultaneously this other edge of it, which is the Bucks. Okay, so you guys remember this. In 2011, everyone hated you. Everyone hated the Heat. I didn't. Right. I thought they were really cool. But everyone hated them. But then, like, 2012 and 2013, like, yes, there were still fan bases that hated you. Boston's always going to hate you. Dallas is always going to hate you. But in general, there was like, good for LeBron. Like, good for them for coming back. Because after you suffered, that's when people are like, okay, like, now I kind of want good things for you. It's fascinating to me that that's what happens, because that's what's happening with the Bucks. Is like, now the Bucks are kind of becoming like the, wouldn't America's it be cool team. Like the, yeah. Yeah, like, wouldn't it be cool if the Bucks won? Like, after absolutely falling, versus in 2019 and 2020, because they dominated the regular season, everybody's like, yeah, but you're not any good. Like, you're not any good in the playoffs. Like, you're going to have to actually win in the playoffs. And when they fail to meet those expectations, like, people crush them for it, very rightfully. I think that's part of the equation, too, is if you're going to be as confident as Heat fans understandably were versus the in that Bucks series, not everyone, I knew a lot of Heat fans that were like, yeah, I'm pretty concerned this team hasn't been good all year. But there was enough of them to be like, no, we own them. And then you get swept. That's how Twitter is going to respond. But I think in general, like, look, I think most national media, there's not going to be a national media person that doesn't think that the Heat culture matters. It'll be, well, yeah, I just don't think it matters as much as they act like. That's not the same as it doesn't matter. Or like me, like somebody that's like, yeah, Jimmy Butler's great, right? Like, he's a genuinely great player. Even if I don't think that he's like an elite top end guy, then those differences seem very stark and it feels insulting, but it's just really like, it's more of just like, no, we're talking about like degrees of awesomeness. That's all we're really talking about, because the NBA is tough, man. Like, the playoffs are hard. Winning a championship is tough, which is why it's so impressive that the Heat have had the success that they've had. I mean, I think that honestly, the triad era taught us that, is that winning the title is really hard and you have to have the right combination of things go right. And the Heat, unfortunately for them, did not have almost anything go right this season. And they still got to the sixth seed. And maybe next year they can, make some reconfigurations and make another run.
If they swing for the fences and hit a home run this summer, look out. I'm sure cocky Heat fan will be back in action before you know it. And it's just because of the Heat culture, Matt. That's all it is. You don't have it. Not any 29 other teams don't have it. You're all just jealous. That's all it is.
That's absolutely true.
Yeah, it is. There you go. Thank you so much. Thank you for admitting that. All right, that was Matt Moore. Thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show. Feel free to let my listeners know, if they don't already, where they can find you and your great work, please.
You can refollow me at HP Basketball. You can check me out on the Action Network. Make sure to download the Action Network app if you want to track your scores, or if you're into a little bit of betting on the side, you should definitely download the Action Network app. You can get all of our analysis. It's the fastest way to track scores. It gets up to the second stats. The API on it's faster. It goes actually faster from the actual scores table to our app than to the actual TV feed. I've timed it, so that's something to keep in mind. And yeah, you can check me out on Twitter at HP basketball. Thanks.
Excellent. Excellent. Just a reminder, you can always reach me via email at lockedonheat@gmail.com or via Twitter using the hashtag AskLAHeat. Be sure to please subscribe to the show and leave a review. Special thanks to all of our sponsors for supporting today's show. And thanks to all of you. This is David Ramil signing off for now.